Good evening. It's good to be with the people of St. Mark's. It's been some time that I've been able to worship with you. Greetings to everybody that's also joining us online. Those of you that maybe don't recognize me or haven't met me, my name is Dave Kalpin. I serve your brothers and sisters in Christ at the new Mission Start in Folsom in the El Dorado Hills area, Foundation Lutheran. It's a joy to be with you, and if I'll give you a little bit of a warning, if you would mind after our worship sticking around for 3-4 minutes, I'd love to just give you a quick update on how things are going at Foundation Lutheran, just so that we can I can express my thanks and gratitude for the incredible support that you have shown to us. But more importantly, tonight we gather again in our Savior's name to walk with him to the cross, to observe his great love for us, to ponder anew his incredible love for you and for me. And we do that this year under the theme, "What Shall I Do with Jesus?" Now, that's a question that we all ought to answer for ourselves, but tonight we do that looking at particularly Peter, Jesus' disciple Peter, and how he answered that question, and how we might learn and grow as we see the Lord and how he dealt with Peter in that situation. So our service tonight is recorded, or we'll follow the outline that's printed in your service folder. We'll begin by singing our opening hymn, "The Lamb," and that's printed on page 9 of your service folder. Let's praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
With joy in our hearts and grace on our lips.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven,
I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation. We your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing the printed verse of Jesus I Will Ponder Now. We are reading from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. Jesus' walk to the cross, which really was his entire life, was not an easy walk. And so those who follow him and take up their cross and follow him do not have an easy walk either. Here Jesus encourages all of his disciples to speak boldly to the world his word, but he promises his strength and his comfort as they do. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, In the Hour of Trial.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in rich abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. The words for our meditation this evening are the words of Mark chapter 14. Please listen as I read for you, beginning at verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the word of our God. Of all of the characters that walk through the pages of Bible history, which one of them would you have most liked to have known personally? I would imagine that the answers will vary, maybe as many as there are people here. But my guess is this, that somewhere on your list, he might not be on the top, but somewhere on your list would be Peter. Peter was just this intensely human individual. And by that I mean there's something about Peter to which we can all relate. In fact, if God were to somehow organize a little meet and greet with all the people that we hear of in the Bible, I'll bet you Peter would be the first one to talk to us and the first one to offend us. And then probably the first one to apologize to us. The Peter that we see recorded on the pages of Scripture is one who moves really swiftly from one extreme to the other. At one minute, he's walking confidently on the water, and the next minute, he's sinking and pleading to the Lord for help. At one moment, he gives this beautiful confession of who Jesus is. "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he receives Jesus' commendation. "Yes, that's right, Peter. And on that solid rock of a confession, that's what I'm going to build my church on." But then the next minute, he protests Jesus' announcement of his impending suffering and death. And he actually receives Jesus' rebuke. "Get behind me, Satan," he says to Peter. When he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he vows his readiness to die for Jesus. But when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, he can barely stay awake with him. At the moment of the betrayal, he's ready to fight the Roman soldiers. But then when he's later on in the courtyard, he wilts at the glance of a servant girl. What shall I do with Jesus? That's the question that has been guiding us through this Lenten journey. And tonight, in our reading, we saw how Peter answered that question. He denied even knowing him. Someone once said that a wise man knows his strengths, but one who knows his weakness is even wiser. And the thought behind that is, if you know your strength, well, then there can come great accomplishment, but one who knows his weakness, he can avoid great tragedy. Well, it appears that Peter didn't know his weakness. I mean, haven't you ever read through this section of Scripture and thought to yourself, Peter, what in the world were you thinking? What did you think was going to happen when Jesus is captured and you walk behind enemy lines and then you start warming yourself by the fire? What did you think was going to happen, Peter, when you cut off the servant of the high priest, you cut off his ear, and then now you're at the house of that high priest among his other servants? Didn't you think that you would be recognized? Or maybe it doesn't surprise us that Peter acted this way. Maybe strong, self-confident, impetuous Peter didn't think that he was going to be confronted. Maybe he thought even if he was confronted, well then, maybe he was going to live up to the nickname that Jesus gave him 2 years earlier, the Rock, Petros. Well, at any rate, he was sure that he couldn't fall. But you know what happened. Jesus even gave him all of the details in advance when he predicted his denial. But Peter vowed that it wouldn't happen. But it did. The reality is, no one knows himself so well that he can be sure of his behavior in a crisis. No one knows himself so well that he can be sure of his behavior in a crisis. The fact of the matter is, the devil is real. And he will take advantage of any situation to exploit our weakness, to rip us away from Jesus and the truth that he calls us to confess and to believe. And our sinful nature is real and loves to listen to him and loves to feel overconfident. How many sins haven't been perpetrated because we thought we were strong enough to withhandle the temptation? How many sinful habits have started because we thought to ourselves, I can stop at any time? How many sinful words have crossed our lips because our hearts and our minds were left unguarded and unattended? It happened to Peter. That's why Peter could say years later with such sincerity, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why Paul implores all Christians to put on the armor of God, to use his strength, the strength that God supplies, and the power of his word, so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. We need his strength. We need his power. Somewhere in my rather short and rather unimpressive athletic career, I remember a coach saying to me, concede that every opponent is capable of beating you, but be determined that it will not be this time. Concede, friends, that your sinful nature is weak enough to fall prey to any temptation. But by the power and the grace of God, be determined that it will not be this time. There is never a day in our life that we do not need God's strength against the devil's temptations, that we do not need God's word to fight off them, those temptations. Never a day in our lives that we don't need that strength. Peter learned it the hard way. 3 adamant denials, 2 crows from the rooster, and 1 look from Jesus. and this rock of a man had hit rock bottom. Maybe you remember in one of Jesus' sermons, he took an imaginary scale. And on one arm of that scale, he placed all of the wealth of the world. Its gold and its jewels, its mountains and its lakes, its farms and its factories. And then on the other arm of that scale, he placed a single soul. The scale moved. The soul had the greater value. Maybe you remember his words. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Well, apparently Peter had a scale too. And on one side he placed Jesus and his word and his truth and his eternal salvation. And on the other side, he placed himself and his reputation and his physical well-being. Peter's scale moved too. Only Peter's perverted scale moved in the wrong direction. For Peter, he and his reputation and his safety and his well-being had the greater value. And all it took was a look from Jesus, and Peter was gripped with how bad a thing he had done. He denied his Lord. He was experiencing that horrible feeling when you've been warned about something, but then you just did it anyways. That devastating feeling when you wanted things to go one way, but they went exactly the opposite way. That intensely horrible feeling when you promised to someone that you wouldn't do this or that, but then you fell victim again, or you hurt them so bad, and it was because you were just thinking of yourself, or you weren't even thinking at all. That look from the Lord opened the floodgates of emotions for Peter, the greatest of which was remorse. As a fisherman, his cheeks had often been wet with the spray of the sea, but that night they were wet with tears. He was guilty. He had sinned, and he knew the wages of sin was death. You know that you and I have a scale too, right? I'm ashamed to acknowledge what has made my perverted scale tip in the wrong direction. What has it been for you? Money? Career? Sports? Reputation? Beauty? If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that this episode of Peter's day is really the story of our life. This side of heaven, yes, we will always need the strength of the Lord to fight temptation, but more importantly, we are always going to be in desperate need of forgiveness from the Lord because of our falling into temptation. But there's one place. There's one place where we can always turn that takes away and removes any doubt that we have them both his strength and his forgiveness. With Peter, that one place that we can go to is the cross of Christ. After a long day, the Holy Spirit, for his own good reasons, has brought you here, whether you're here joining us online or whether you are here in person. The Holy Spirit has brought you at this time to this place for a reason. So that whatever is on your plate, whatever issues you are facing, however many times you have overestimated your strength and fallen flat on your face in temptation, however many times you have denied your Lord, He has brought you here so that nonetheless you can be absolutely convinced that the God who created you still loves you more than words can say. And so that rock-solid conviction is dwelling in your heart. The Holy Spirit does something that is profoundly simple and at the same time is spectacularly powerful. As the words of God are spoken, He pours the promises of God into your ears and surrounds your heart. The promise that says, Christ died for you to rid you of your guilt. You are forgiven. What shall I do with Jesus? That's a good question. There's only one good answer. Trust His strength and rejoice in His forgiveness. Greater love has never been shown than the love that Jesus showed on the cross when He died for the sins of the world. And that love has been shown to you. That love belongs to you. And that love is not going away. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that peace will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and righteous God, as we begin again the solemn journey, spiritual journey of Lent, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners, both by the nature we inherit and the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us for your holy name's sake.
You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us understand that in incomprehensible love, He suffered and died for us.
Lord, have mercy on us for Jesus' sake.
In this silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness He has won for us, and ask for God's continual grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of mercy and grace, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We'll sing our closing hymn, Lamb of God. Please be seated. Once again, what a joy to worship with you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's been a while since I've been able to do that with you. As I mentioned earlier, if you don't mind, I'd love to just give you a real quick update. If there is something that you have on your schedule and you need to get out and you weren't expecting this, I will not be offended if you have to leave. But I do want to first and foremost, on behalf of myself and my family and all of your brothers and sisters at Foundation, say thank you. And if that was in print, it would be in bold, underline, italics. It would be the biggest thank you possible. The people of St. Mark's have been so generous with prayers, financial resources, in just so many ways, the people. So I just want to say thank you. It's been about a year and a half since I arrived. I know the work of the mission started long before I ever got here, but I measure my involvement since I arrived, and God has been blessing his work here, as I have seen, and I know he's been blessing it there. Just to give you a quick snapshot of what's gone on in a year and a half. So the first year of our time together was really planned that we would gather as a group, kind of learn each other a little bit, and we would learn how we would kind of organize ourselves as a church and how we would organize our ministry. And that was really all going along as planned. And we were really strengthening what I'd like to call strengthening tightening the snowball, building relationships among our group so that we could go out and do the Lord's work in our community. And then all of a sudden this thing called COVID hits. I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but it came and it really did kind of stunt the plans a little bit. And so, you know, there was a lot of online stuff, and meeting was not as frequent, and plans really were slowing down. And so we really thought, boy, we're going to have to push our start date, which was going to be in August of 2020. We're going to have to push that on. And the place that we had planned to worship, we were going to rent a beautiful area in Folsom Lake College, a community room there at a relatively inexpensive price. Things were really exciting, and then we had to slow down by God's wisdom and direction. It was about July or so, we decided maybe we can still do this, but we might have to get a little bit creative. And so we decided we are going to have worship, but we're going to do it outside. It was really one Sunday when I attended here at St. Mark's, I thought, well, why couldn't we do this in Folsom? And so we didn't have a piece of land that we owned to do it on, but there are a number of great public parks in Folsom. And so what we did is we set a date, and it just so happened to be right around the date that we originally had planned before all of this craziness started. So on August 16th, we had our very first service. Wasn't a big splash of a launch, but it was our very first service at Mann Park in Folsom. And God blessed us with just about 50 people in attendance, a number of visitors, mostly our group, but a number of visitors. And from that moment on, we've worshiped every Sunday since. And I'm happy to say that since then, since August 16th, our worship average is right around the mid-50s. And God has blessed us with souls to hear the word. And that number, the makeup of that number, is really about two-thirds members, one-third visitors, which is a wonderful thing that people who otherwise wouldn't have been hearing the word are getting a chance to hear the word. In fact, in the last 6 months, God has brought over 110 prospect visitors to worship. That does not mean that we have 110 new members. You know that it does take work, and the Spirit works on His own time. But many of them, I would say 15 to 20 of them at least, are regular visitors to worship that come multiple times in a given month. And so we thank God for that. This is kind of an important time In our history right now, because we are for the first time this year, or for the first time in March here, and then we'll hear in April, we're applying for actual funding from the Synod. You may or may not know that a good portion of our work up till this point has been funded by a large donation. But now we're going to be funded by the Synod, and Lord willing, we'll be able to continue and do even more work for the kingdom. Currently, we're not at Mann Park. We've switched because it does rain in California, I found out. So we're at Briggs, well, it's LV Perrazzo Park, but most of the locals call it Briggs Ranch Park. It's got a large pavilion, so we can gather there when the weather is inclement. But God has blessed us with good weather up until this point, too. So we are so very appreciative. This really wouldn't be possible without the people, the resources that you have supplied. Of course, God is the one that's making it work, but He used St. Mark's in a very real and powerful way. And my family foundation thanks you for that. And we're excited to keep you informed, excited to do God's work with you, excited to see His kingdom grow by His Spirit's power. One just maybe anecdotal story that I can tell you. It was because of the coronavirus, of COVID, that we ended up worshiping outside. And there were a lot of times in my mind I remember thinking, why, Lord, now, right when we're trying to do this mission, what's your plan here? But because of that, we were worshiping in a park. And because we were worshiping in a park, a man about my age, a little bit younger, was playing basketball on the Sunday that we launched. Not planning to see us there, didn't even know we were going to be there. The next Sunday he was playing again, only that time he stopped in the middle of the sermon, came over and sat on a picnic bench with his brother and listened. And I can count on one hand the amount of services he's missed since. In fact, I have to use two hands to count how many people he's invited to worship. In fact, a month ago, I baptized his three children, and he's in Bible information class and more than likely will be one of our first confirmands. So that's one of many stories. I know St. Mark's has a million stories like that too. But God's doing work through our two groups, and I'm excited to be a part of it. So that was probably a little longer than I expected, but thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't ever hesitate to email me or to stop in and visit if you want to just see what we're doing. And I know we have people that stop in here. We all like you a lot and miss you. But don't ever hesitate to ask questions. I'm eager and excited to talk about the work we get to do together. God be with you. I look forward to worshiping with you in the very near future. I don't know, do we usher out? I probably got to go mask up, and you guys just leave when you can. What's that? Oh, so you do follow me. So I don't have I'll go get my mask, and then I'll go. Why don't you guys? You don't have to follow me. You guys can just go. God be with you. Thank you.
around some surfaces.